Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible when you swear to tell the truth. Name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. I'll get it straight here in just a second. 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. You had us in the neighborhood.
Just a little farther down the road. Just a little bit.
Good morning.
Good morning, brother.
Are you well?
I am well.
Good.
I am well. I'm thankful to be well.
Amen. Amen. Forecast. Now, when I was coming in, you were giving the weather forecast, but you know, I got busy setting things up and I didn't even hear you. So it looks like we're going to rain some today, right?
No, not today.
Not today.
Weather is, rain tonight and tomorrow though. But the weatherman says mostly cloudy today, but it's going to be around 80 degrees.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Spring. I love spring because it reminds me of the resurrection.
Amen.
Everywhere, it's all around us.
Everywhere you look, yeah, you see it. You see signs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was listening to a song. I was telling Michael when I came in, listening to a song by Paul Williams and the Victory Trio, Bluegrass Gospel Songs. I was coming in, and the song was simply entitled, He's a Miracle Man.
Amen.
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 He's a miracle man.
He's a miracle
man.
Well,
we're on the air now for the next half hour, aren't we?
We're hoping to be.
What about the Kentucky power alert that we were going to have a power loss?
Well, we were told, had an automated call, that there was going to be some power outage. The latest we had found out is they were going to replace a pole over in the Island Creek area, Ponderosa Drive area.
I see.
And it could affect some of the equipment at the radio station. But as of right now, as far as I know, we're still on the air.
I think we're on the air.
Still listening.
Yeah, folks could call us if they'd like and confirm that we're on the air. How would they do that?
789-0318, 789-0318. Or you could shoot us a text. Not a text. Well, you could.
You could.
If you had our numbers.
And, yeah.
Or an email at godspointofview@yahoo.com, godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Which I am monitoring at the moment, live.
Yep, live.
Nothing there.
Yep. There
nothing
you go.
There. Just hurry. Inbox zero. So we
zero.
Got nothing. Zip. Nada.
We got nothing.
Nothing. Well, speaking of spring and speaking of new life, you know that Easter's right around the corner, and we want to extend a cordial invitation to all of those listening that may not have a home church, may not have a place to go to church. We'd love to have you at the Highland Church on 821 Euclid Avenue. On Easter Sunday. You can even come before that if you'd like.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Someone has taken us up on our offer. They've called us.
And the kind thing would be to do is to talk right back with us.
Sure.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please?
I'm just letting you know you're on the air.
Okay.
It's your heart. Thank
we
you.
Love it.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Love listening to you all.
Bless your heart.
Thank you so much.
That's encouraging. Thanks.
Oh, that's good. Here's another one coming in. Let's check it out. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please?
Yes, sir. I would like for Jerry to comment on the folded linen that was in the tomb of Jesus after he resurrected from the dead.
Bless your heart. Great question.
I love that question.
Yeah, great question. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
If I may, I want to jump in because years ago, you know, and studied and they were told that the body was stolen and this and that. you know, if you're going to steal the body of Jesus, why would you take time to fold the linens?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was, I mean, you know, so I love that question she just asked.
And that's pretty much the answer to the question that she just asked. If I had been in the tomb and I had been in grave clothes all that length of time, I'm not going to take the time. I'm not going to take the time to neatly fold everything. As a matter of fact,
why wouldn't you just take the clothes with you?
Sure, sure. The wrappings, the way the Jews wrapped people, it was mm-hmm. kind of like what we think of as a mummy.
Yeah.
They would start at the bottom of the feet, and they would wrap all the way up, and put the arms down on each side, and mm-hmm. then they would wrap the arms then up to the neck. And then they wrapped the head separately.
Yeah.
That was the way John describes it in his gospel. From the way they were laying, not all strewn all over the tomb or on the floor, they were all in place.
Mm-hmm.
Which tells us that Jesus actually just slipped out of them
mm-hmm.
vertically. Excuse me, horizontally. He didn't set up and then start ripping off the strippings that they wrapped him in. Didn't throw off the headpiece, the napkin over his head. It just stayed in place.
Yeah, and I think it's very important that that's in Scripture, because if the body of Jesus were stolen, they wouldn't have put time to unwrap the body.
No, they would not.
It doesn't make any sense.
They would not.
Yeah, that'd be like breaking into the bank and stealing the money and laying the bunny bag all nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Plus, if you remember when Lazarus was resurrected, mm-hmm. Some say really resuscitated because he had to die again. When Lazarus came back from the dead, been dead 4 days, we know that for a fact.
Yeah.
When he came back, Jesus, when he called him out of the tomb, told the others there, loose him.
Yeah.
And let him go. So he had to have help. Getting out of those.
Jesus didn't have to have any help.
I'm talking about Lazarus.
But Jesus confirmed what you mentioned earlier.
He did. And he also, in the process, employed other people in helping.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them something to do. I would imagine if you were standing there when Lazarus came out of the grave, you would be somewhat shocked by it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good. It's good to have something to do. The busier we can be, the better off we are. And so when Jesus said, loose him and let him go, he gave them a responsibility to take care of. But getting back to the question, Jesus just slipped through the strips of linen that wrapped his body, and then the cloth that was separately surrounding his head. He just slipped through it.
Yeah.
And off he went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needed no help or assistance.
Well, he did not. He did not.
The Father took care of that.
He was, as I mentioned earlier, the song says he was a miracle man.
Yeah.
He was indeed.
Amen.
So it's a great question. A good thought this time of the year, Timotheus,
mm-hmm.
that people are thinking about Jesus and the resurrection. What he had to put up with, what he had to deal with for our sins, for your sins, for my sins, moreover, for the sins of the entire world. Jesus took that upon himself. And so we hope that answers the question of the caller about the napkin, why it was lying in place or in a separate place from the others. It was not associated or connected to the wrappings of the body. Glorious story about the resurrection of Jesus. Preceded, of course, by a very dismal, dark story, that is the floggings, beatings, the injustices, and things that Jesus had to contend with.
Help me with, my mind just goes blank sometimes.
The Passion?
The Passion of the Christ. The
Passion of the Christ.
Was a fantastic movie, but when it got to where they were flogging and beating him, I couldn't watch that.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen enough of it, and it's interesting how it was in the theater when we first went and watched it. I don't know how many people can actually sit there and watch that, because that's what happened.
Yeah,
and we don't think about that enough. I don't believe we don't.
We have a natural tendency to veer away from those kinds of thoughts and those kinds mm-hmm. of feelings. And yet it had to be. It had to happen.
Yeah.
And we have to come to terms with it. So, someone asked me once, how do I know that I'm really ready to become a Christian? Well, I think it starts with brokenness. You have to be broken over what has taken place with Jesus and what God had to do in order to save you. That needs to conjure up a brokenness within me.
Yeah,
my guilt.
That I was the one.
Yeah, my sins
that caused him to go.
My sins put him on the cross.
We've got another call coming in.
Great.
Good morning, and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, I called earlier about the folded linen, and I'm listening at you guys.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that meant, with the folded napkin, that meant that Jesus was not finished yet? He is coming back to get the Christians, because like when we are eating, if we have a napkin, we get finished eating, we wad that napkin up and we throw it away. But this napkin was left there folded. And don't you think that might mean that Jesus is not finished with us yet. He's coming back to get the Christian.
Well, I've heard that interpretation. A lot of folks talk about that. Thanks for calling back. This may be a good question for some of our other listeners this morning. Let's go back to the question in John's Gospel chapter 20. Mary, of course, Mary Magdala was at the tomb. Mm-hmm. She went and told Simon Peter. So she came running to Simon Peter, picking up here with the reading of verse 2, and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. That other disciple, of course, is John, and John doesn't refer to himself in the first person here. He never did.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's better if we're talking about ourselves, but we don't want to appear to be bragging.
Boastful.
Yeah. Sometimes we just should say, I knew a man once, or I know a man. And that way it takes the focus off the person telling.
Mm-hmm.
The story. The Apostle Paul did that. That's, by the way, Timotheus, is where I learned that. Paul said, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." 2 Corinthians 11. As you read on, you find that he's really talking about himself.
Yeah.
So John did this here.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you do that is to get the focus on what you're telling, not on the person who's telling it.
This is not about me. This ain't about me outrunning Simon Peter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So he did this also when he talked about the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he'd have said, you know, he loves me, but he doesn't love it, that would have sounded a little braggadocious.
Yeah.
So Peter is outrunning. Peter ran and reached the tomb. He bent over and looked in at the strips lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. Doesn't surprise us that Peter went right on in. He was with about everything. He saw the strips of linen lying there. The strips of linen is reference to what we mentioned earlier, the wrappings of the body. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Then finally, the other disciple had reached the tomb first. Now, there was an old story about Jews at mealtime.
Mm-hmm.
And that when they finished, they would wad the napkin up, indicating they're finished. But if the napkin was not in a wadded up position, that meant they were coming back, they were going to eat some more. And it's a nice little story, and it's nice to apply it to this.
Yeah.
Some commentators tell that story as truthful. Others are not so sure that it is, in fact, a Jewish custom. If you study Jewish customs, and that would be the place to arrive probably at a conclusion. But be that as it may, whether it is a parable or whether it is a true happening, we can certainly say his work is not finished.
Amen.
He is coming back. He's coming back again, which is why every one of us need to be prepared for him when he comes back.
Yeah. Amen.
So great call again. Great follow-up.
Yeah.
And so we appreciate that.
And I have to be honest here. I had never heard that before. So I'm glad that the caller called because it's very interesting and it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of take it as you will.
Yeah. Well, you know, some folks listening may want to do some research on that and see if they can find that. Now, remember, depending on who you may be researching from, some scholars say it happened. That was a Jewish custom.
Mm-hmm.
Others say it wasn't, that it was just over the centuries made up.
But,
and sometimes it's hard to figure out what's made up and what's real. For instance, Jesus said that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven.
Yeah.
And they talked about a camel going through the eye of a needle. Someone said, well, that wasn't what he was talking about. All he was talking about was there was a little door around the wall where the camel had to bow down. Well, we've all heard that. We've all told that.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that's even true.
Yeah.
That there was a little door for the camel to bow down. It helps add to the story. And it helps give a visual.
Mm-hmm.
And
helps you relate.
Sure. Maybe it should just be used as a parable or as an illustration instead of telling it for a gospel truth. Be that as it may, study your Bible. That's the best thing to do.
Amen.
Study your Bible.
Amen.
We need to all stay in the Bible.
And not get hung up on little things as the camel, the eye of the needle.
Yeah,
whether there was a door, whether there wasn't a door.
Absolutely.
As you said, John talking not as in first person, that's the way those things are. It's not about the camel going through the
door. It isn't.
That's not it.
So, it isn't.
You know, whether it's true, whether it's not.
There was a time, and you and I talked about this off air a little while ago. There was a time that if I met someone for the first time and I knew they were a Christian, I wanted to find out all of their beliefs about the resurrection, about the rapture, about the indwelling Holy Spirit. I wanted to know all of those things before I ever knew the person.
Yeah.
And I would inquire about all those things first. I don't do that anymore. I haven't done it for 30 years. The reason I don't is because you're not going to find agreement, total agreement with anybody.
Even me and you don't agree.
We do not. Let me take it further. Let me take it one step further. Well, it has to be okay.
Amen.
And one step further, I don't even agree with myself all the time.
You suffer from that too?
I do.
Okay.
You know, I make statements and then I think, man, that's not really right, I don't think.
Yeah, why did I say that?
Change that the next time. So that's just human. That's the human factor. So, let's look at each other as human beings, fallen creatures who need help.
We all need help.
We all need help. And if you tell me you're a Christian, I'm not going to start browbeating you as to who baptized you or why you were baptized. There's numerous reasons to be baptized. So how many of those should you know? 12 or 15 or 2 or 5? It's ridiculous what we do. That's called legalism. That's called nitpicking.
And as far as we know, the first people that I am aware of that really have been indicated of that is Pharisees.
Absolutely.
You know, and the Bible is full of Pharisees and how Jesus...
It is.
Just tore them apart.
He did, but he did it in a nice, calm...
He did.
Most of the time, loving spirit. Now, there was a time that he really got on them. Matthew 23, I believe it is. He really got on them for their teachings. And the reason he did is because they were teaching people doctrines of men.
Yeah.
And he said that. You're teaching doctrines of men. You don't teach the truth. And so, so he corrected them, and they needed to be corrected.
Yeah.
He said, you look good, but you're really bad. Inside, you got dead men's bones inside you. So,
let's be careful.
We need to be.
Judging other brothers and
certainly,
sisters.
Certainly takes a load off of you when you realize that you're not the judge, you're not even the prosecuting attorney, you're not even the defense attorney. There's no reason for me to defend myself.
Yeah.
My friends won't need an explanation. My enemies won't believe whatever I say.
No.
So there's really no point in defending oneself. My defense lawyer is Jesus Christ, and he's between the Father and me, and he takes my petitions there. He does for all Christians. I'm not the jury.
Yep.
I have one role. If you want to use, since we're using a court of law as an analogy to the kingdom of God or to life, I have one role, and there's one other, not the bailiff. I'm not any of those people. I'm simply a witness. I give witness to what I know to be true in my own life and what can be true in other people's lives based upon what God has done for me.
Yep.
Yep, that's all we are.
And his word.
Yeah, so it's, absolutely, absolutely. So folks could call us if they'd like to touch on the cloth again or the wadded up napkin or the little hole in the wall where the camel kneels down.
Somebody must be taking you up on it.
Absolutely. 789-0318. Let's go to the phones.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
We're right here, brother. How are you today?
I'm good. Who is this now?
This is Jerry.
Okay, are you with the swap shop?
No.
Well, I could be, but I'm not today. Why don't you call back? What number should he call tomorrow?
Well, the same number, but you can call back in the morning between 8:15 and 8:30.
Oh, I see. 8:15 and 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, get you on the swap shop.
No, and what it is somebody called in today and put my number on there.
Oh, okay.
And I was trying to figure out.
I understand. I tell you what, you can call back at 789-5311 and see if they can help you with that, okay?
789-5311?
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Bless your heart.
Didn't realize the show was going on.
Well, it happens.
It happens. It,
I mean, it's hard to believe.
When we've got the same phone number.
Yeah.
Just a different time zone.
Well, Timotheus... you know, we are we're blessed at Highland. We,
amen.
We've got so many wonderful folks doing so many wonderful things. And one of the things that's coming up here on April the 8th, I guess you have it on the swap shop, or not swap shop, but
have it on the church bulletin board.
Church bulletin board. The Easter egg hunt is coming up on the 8th of April, I believe it is. From what? 11 to 2?
Start, 11 till 2. There's going to be, and this may go. Some listeners may go right back to what we were just talking about, about different things, but the kids can come. And this is all about kids and them having fun, but being able to slide that scripture in and teach them about the Lord and what Easter is really about. But we do have the Easter Bunny. We have an Easter egg hunt. Going to have a puppet show. Going to have lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a great thing. And Miss Michelle Borders works extremely hard with the other volunteers.
Doesn't she?
To make this happen.
Amen.
So we'd like to invite everybody on the... 8th of April.
Yes, from 11 to 2. Mm-hmm. Those are all symbols of life, symbols of resurrection power. Now, come on, I know everything's commercialized. You can't do anything anymore without somebody trying to make a buck off of it. We're not trying to make a buck off any of it. I doubt there'll even be any passing of the collection plate there, Timotheus. How about
I've never known of that.
I've never seen it.
Now, don't get us wrong. If you would like to contribute,
that's
to
entirely
church,
up to you.
That's a wonderful thing.
But
too,
these are all symbols of life and resurrection, and we have to communicate that in ways that children can understand.
Yeah.
And so that's why that takes place. So don't get all bent out of shape over that. Just come and enjoy the day.
Come and have fun. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, you was talking about differences in opinions and things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we would focus more on what we have in common than what our differences are, wouldn't it be a lot nicer? I mean, really, as God's people.
It really would. It really would.
You know, and the brother was talking about the camel going through the eye of a needle. You know, and we know that that's, whether it's the eye of an actual needle or whether it's what some people think is a sheep gate or something like that. You know, either way, it would be a task that a camel would not be able to do.
Amen.
And all of that would be in vain if it wasn't for the next part of that scripture. It says, but...
Share it with us, brother.
But with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
Because the disciples asked whenever Jesus said this, well, who then could be saved?
Yeah.
And so he said, with men, it's impossible. But with God. But with God, all things are possible.
And that's the
what
whole
matters.
Point. Yeah,
that was the whole point that Jesus was trying to make.
Absolutely.
And we get so tied up on little things, and whenever we miss out the big picture.
Yeah,
yep, we do. That's been going on almost since the beginning of time.
Well, that's true.
And
that's
so
true. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're a church of God, I I'm a Baptist myself. And it doesn't matter if you're Baptist. It doesn't matter if you're Church of God. It doesn't matter if you're Church of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're Pentecostal. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in his death, burial, resurrection, and that he is coming back, then we're going to get along.
I think you're right. I think we major in minors too often, and we should focus on the big picture.
You're exactly right
there,
on that.
There was a time when there were none of those groups that you just mentioned.
Exactly.
They did not
exist.
There
was a time whenever the disciples were with Jesus, and they thought it was just them and Christ.
Right.
And whenever they found another man who was preaching Jesus, but he wasn't walking with them, they scorned him.
They did.
And they come back and they were so tickled to death to tell Jesus, oh, we lashed him. We got him good.
Yeah.
We got him good. And Jesus said, what are you doing? You know, I'm paraphrasing. But Jesus said, what are you doing? If they're not against us, they're with us.
Amen.
And that's how the church needs to look at it. Don't look at the name on the door. Look at the believers.
One of the most difficult things, I'll have to amen everything you've said. One of the most difficult things I've ever tried to do in my life is simply be a Christian.
Yeah.
You can't just be a Christian. You've got to have that hyphenated. Native American. I'm an African American. I'm a Hispanic American. If you're an American, you're an American.
Exactly.
And if you're a Christian, you're a Christian.
No prefixes.
No. No.
Either you are or you ain't, period.
But we started differing and being very vocal in our, well, you know, if you don't believe that, then I'm not going to fellowship with you. That's the attitude that has developed over hundreds of years.
Exactly right.
And it takes a long time to change that. I'm reminded of the fellow that was shipwrecked. He'd been on this island for years and thought he'd never get off. And finally, one day, a ship came by, and they saw him, and they came over, and he got ready to pack all of his things up. And the captain of the ship said, I see a hut over there. He said, what is that? He said, well, that's where I live. He said, well, there's a hut right over here. What's that? He said, that's where I go to church. And he said, well, what's that hut on down the way? He said, that's where I used to go to church. We have a hard time getting along with ourselves sometimes.
Yes, we do.
And so one at a time, if we could just start with one at a time, and that can change things over a period of time. One of the things that we believe will do that, if we start fellowshipping with one another, we had a unity conference back in December at our church. We plan another one. We want to invite all of the churches to come. Did we have as many as we would like there? No. But we had a good start, and we're happy with that.
Amen.
Yeah. And I was aware of that conference and was unable to make it.
We can't always make everything that's happening.
I'm glad that churches are actually starting to do that.
We were so pleased, so happy. We had breakfast and we had lunch together. We stayed there at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Started about 8 that morning, 8:30 that morning, something like that, and just had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
There is entirely way too much division in the church today.
You're right.
And I say the church, not churches. The church. You know, the church is not where you go to worship or where I go to worship. The church.
Yeah.
Is God's people. That's who Christ is coming back for.
Yeah.
He's not coming back for the building in which I worship at or the building in which you worship
no,
at.
No, he is not.
He's coming back for the church, for the people, the blood-bought, born-again Christian.
There
that's
you go, brother.
The church is.
There you go. Bless your heart. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your call.
God bless you.
You've shed light on the subject. Appreciate you.
I find in the Bible that where Paul wrote many different letters to the churches, it never said it was any particular type church. It just said where the church was.
Yeah.
Geographic location.
Well, the thing, and since we're part of the Highland Church of Christ, the Church of Christ has taken a verse in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you, and have made that the name of the church exclusively. That is an era, I believe. I believe Paul is referring to all of the churches, plural,
yep,
in that area. We're all churches of Christ.
Yep.
Christ is our Savior. He's the only hope we've got.
Mm-hmm.
The names of the various denominations came along many years later, even as we use it, the Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That even came along later, that name as it is used today.
Yeah.
There's only been one church.
Yeah.
You can call it whatever you want to, but it's the Lord's church. Acts of the Apostles, Luke records, talks about the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. So that's one of the things we've nitpicked about. We've nitpicked about the name of the church, and we've alienated people.
Yeah.
And so Baptists initially were called Baptists, called Anabaptists, actually.
Mm.
Means to be baptized again, ANA-Baptist, because they were bringing a lot of people into their church that had been sprinkled as infants.
Mm.
And they felt like they should be immersed instead of sprinkled, and so they called them Anabaptists. We could go on with this now for a long time to mow this.
Don't have that much time.
We need more time. We're out of time already.
We're out of time
Thank you, folks, today for calling.
And folks, that's got to do it today for God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. And we'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday morning Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship service at 10:30 a.m. We have life groups Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening church services again at 7 p.m. And don't forget about Looking to Jesus Sunday morning, 7 a.m. here at WSIP. Thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.